Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walls. Friday night, you can stop by the National Music Museum in Vermilion to see clarinetist Luis Biquez in concert. That begins at 7 p.m. Biquez is the director of the University of South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. He's the assistant director of music at USD, director of the concert band, and of course, he also teaches clarinet and music theory. Professor Biquez, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you so much, Lori, and my greetings to all the followers and the audience of such an important company as South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio. And let me say at this moment, you know, how important it is, you know, for all of us, you know, here in this country to support, you know, public broadcasting, public radio, public TV. So very, very delighted to be here today.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And we're delighted to introduce South Dakota audiences to you and to your music. Tell us a little bit about your background with the clarinet. You started playing in Costa Rica, where you're from. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, I'm originally from Costa Rica. And for several years, I started playing the clarinet when I was 8 years old. I started in a community band in Tierra Blanca, which is my hometown. And this was a very, very small band. You know, I was the only kid playing with 40-year-old gentlemen. And, you know, it was a very interesting experience. I started there later on. I joined the Municipal School of Music in Cartago, which is the closest biggest city from my small town. And right after that, I joined the University of Costa Rica, where I did my undergraduate degree and a performance certificate before coming to the United States and do my master's and doctorate.
Is it unusual for children in Costa Rica to start that young?
It is not. It is actually very, very usual. We have a very nice system of public conservatories of music, in which a lot of students, they will get the opportunity to start, you know, even if they want to start on violin or in piano, since they are 3 or 4 years old, they can do that. Now, for clarinet, yeah, for clarinet, it is quite unusual to start when you are 8 years old. You usually start the clarinet, you know, when you are 11, 12, something like that. But in Costa Rica, our strong music foundation, you know, it allows our academies to train children. And indeed, I used to work in one of those before moving to the U.S. and do my graduate education. That being said, public schools in Costa Rica, right in the public schools, unfortunately, the choral programs or band and orchestra programs that exist in the public schools here in the U.S., that does not exist in the public schools in Costa Rica. So if you want music instruction, you have to go to the community conservatory of music after you're done with classes. So I think that was a very interesting experience, you know, that I had and that many Costa Ricans that are interested in music currently have.
So when you see students coming to you at USD now with the background that they would have gotten, you know, in South Dakota, say, what kind of education are they already coming to you with? Is it good? Does it need a lot of work?
You know, one of the things that amazes me and which I think that it's a very good thing to have in higher education is to understand, you know, all the different varieties of education and approaches in which music students, they arrive into our music department. You know, one of the things that happens a lot is that you can get a very talented student that may have won, you know, regional or national high school competitions. And then you will also get a student that maybe only learn how to play the clarinet in the band and that never had clarinet instruction. And I actually, most of my students, I have to say, you know, the first time that they have a private instructor, that they have somebody telling them, this is what you have to do in order to produce a tone of good quality. The first time it happens, not until they start enrolling in lessons with me. So, you know, it is certainly a challenge, not only for the students, but also for me, because, you know, I want them to give, you know, the best education as possible. But, you know, in regard of my philosophy of teaching is that no matter how the student walks into my room, the moment that the student leaves my studio, they live better. They live with better technique and with better musicianship. So yeah, it's quite varied, I would say.
Yeah, we all want to hear you play, and I keep asking you questions because it's so interesting. But you brought your clarinet. You're gonna play something for us.
I can play something for you. And indeed, the program that we're doing on Friday, you know, it will be very, very varied. I will be joined by Diane Van Den Over. She's one of our staff pianists here at the University of South Dakota. And also, I will be playing with Dr. Darren Wadley, the percussion professor here. But one of the pieces that I'm going to be playing there in my recital on Friday was written just for unaccompanied clarinet, which fits perfectly, you know, to be here at the public radio, because I didn't need to bring Diane. We didn't need to bring a piano or a marimba here to the studio. And this piece is actually by USD's very own Dr. Paul Lombardi. He is the assistant professor of composition and a very well-respected composer in the Midwest area, winner of the American Prize in Composition with his piano concerto. And this piece, it's called Fourth Short Pieces. And indeed, they are short. The entire composition lasts around, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And he is a composer that he bases his music a lot of, you know, he combines music with mathematics. So everything what he does, it has a scientific reason for seeing that, you know, like rather than an emotional, you know, approach.
Right.
You know, like he's like very careful, you know, like how measured, how loud, how soft he wants a particular piece. So maybe how about if I play a little bit of that?
Love it. Thank you so much, Luis Piquez.
So as you can tell, these pieces, they were written with such minimal materials, if we can say, you know, very short driven rhythms. And the first piece and the last piece, they sound quite similar on regard that is the same type of effect. You know, like clarinet, we are not used to do vibrato. We are not used to do the sound quality that you use, that I had to use for this piece. And it's quite interesting, you know, that Dr. Lombardi, he asks for the clarinet to go beyond its limits. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy playing a lot of contemporary music. But also, our program will be featuring music by Camille Saint-Saëns, will be featuring music by Jean-Javier Lefebvre, which was one of the early composers for the clarinet, and also by Gioachino Rossini, who wrote this beautiful set of variations for clarinet and piano. One of the interesting things of my performance is that I will be playing on a piano. The piano that Diane Van Den Over will be using for accompanying me was built in 1855, And Gioachino Rossini, he was alive by then. So that would have been like the same type of sonority of a piano during the times that he would have been around in this world. So if you want to know more about this piano, I think that, you know, I would like to invite everyone, you know, to certainly come and visit the National Music Museum. Such a wonderful treasure that we have here in South Dakota, and such an institution and facility that I would say, and that also my colleagues, you know, in major conservatories of music all around the world, they would say that it is such a luxury that we can have here, not only in South Dakota, but also here at our campus.
Let's talk a little bit about the National Music Museum. This is one of the first places that you visited when you came to Vermilion. What were some of your first impressions?
The first impression that I had was like, what is this place doing here?
Right?
it's Vermilion, you know, it's a small size community, very, very, very similar to the community in which I grew up in Costa Rica. But to have such a world-class facility and, you know, to have such world-famous instruments, you know, like such as the one that we suppose that we expect to be the oldest cello in the world, or we even have, you know, clarinets that they are dated to the times in which Mozart wrote his celebrated clarinet concerto, Bill Clinton's presidential tenor saxophone. So I believe that there is such a lot of variety, and that's what I would say, you know, the variety that the museum has. You know, like, you can be a lover of keyboard instruments, or you can be interested only in guitar, or you can be a percussion player or a wind player, that you will always find something. You will find always so many great things that will amaze you. And not only that, and also a good thing to mention is the great acoustical facilities that the concert hall at the National Music Museum has, which makes it, you know, a delightful place to perform. And especially for the clarinet, I think that every single musical instrument that can be sounded there, it just sounds, you know, marvelously. So I certainly encourage, you know, all our audience to stop by in Vermilion, you know, and support such a wonderful facility that we have here.
What would you like to play for us next?
Let's see. I have a little bit of the Rossini variations. I would like to play a couple of examples just to exemplify our audiences what Rossini does with this piece. So this is a piece very virtuosic. It has a lot of, you know, either it has a lot of fast passages, or it has a lot of also lyrical passages. But the entire concept of this is the concept of the theme and variations. And I'm going to play a little bit of the theme, and also a little bit of the variation one and the variation two. So basically what Rossini does is that he takes a tune, he takes a melody that is based in one of his operas, and he does several rhythmic and melodic transformations in which that tune is hidden around the different scales and arpeggios that the clarinet plays. So here is how the theme sounds. So that is the theme. And when we get into the variations, that's when we will hear this melody that it sounds about the same, but he does a lot of rhythmic manipulations. So this is a little bit of the first variation. And the second variation. Which goes very high. That's one of the features of this piece.
That's fabulous. If you're just tuning in, Luis Biquez, and the performance is this Friday at 7 o'clock at the National Music Museum in Vermilion with his friends. And I'm wondering, let's talk a little bit about education and teaching at USD, because you're going to get students who want to be in performance someday, and you're also going to get students who are studying medicine or law or English there, but who also want to play in the orchestra.
Absolutely.
How do you approach that?
My philosophy with this is that everyone has the right of making good quality music, and everyone has the right of enjoying music, you know, and that can be a challenging, like, if, you know, if we get away a little bit from the clarinet and talk, you know, about my job as the director of orchestral studies here at the University of South Dakota, it is challenging when I have students that they are devoted, you know, and be in the practice rooms every day with their instruments, and when I also have, you know, a medicine school student or a philosophy student that they just want to play their instrument, you know, and have fun and enjoy, and also earn one of their general education credits as part of being members of the orchestra. So I always try to compensate, because there is also the element of the audience. You know, when I pick repertoire, the first thing that I think is this a piece that my students, they will be able to perform? Is this a piece that it will fit well for the music major, for the graduate student in violin performance, and also for the student that is studying psychology, that basically has only time, maybe perhaps, to practice 15, 20 minutes in the week and then come to our orchestra rehearsals? So that's one of the elements that I think. The other one is, if it is a piece that I really would like to conduct, you know, I did my doctorate in orchestral conducting at the Conservatory of Music in the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and I was exposed to wonderful pieces of music, and most of the repertoire that we studied at the doctoral level, you know, it can be very challenging for many, even in major university orchestras. So, you know, I try to pick pieces that I will feel fulfilled as an artist to conduct. And then the third element, in which I would say that is the base of this pyramid, is what the audience would like to hear. Like in our first orchestra concert this year, we performed Tchaikovsky's celebrated Fifth Symphony, but we also had a piece by Diana Weirspan, which is a wonderful pianist. She's also on the faculty at the University of South Dakota. And it was a piece with a different approach, a piece a little bit more reflective, which the audience enjoyed. So I think that that's the secret, you know, to understand variety and diversity in the music making here at the University of South Dakota. But I base my premise, you know, that every single student here, they have the right to come and make music. Of course, you know, there are expectations, and that's the reason why, you know, we have a selective process of auditions. But that doesn't mean that if we know about a very talented violin player that is doing a degree in math, we are not going to deny an opportunity. On the other hand, you know, those are students that they come to our music department, and they even can get a music participant scholarship. And I would say that 65% of my symphony orchestra, they are all non-majors and do such a superb job.
Fascinating. Well, would you leave us with a little something, play one more something for us on the clarinet?
Absolutely. Please. This piece that I'm going to play, the first movement is for solo clarinet, and the second movement is for clarinet and percussion. So since I don't have the percussionist here, I'm going to play a little bit of the first movement. This is called Dos Melodías para Clarinete Solo, or Two Melodies for Solo Clarinet, by my good friend and celebrated Costa Rican composer and clarinetist Vinicio Mesa. This first piece is very lyrical, very beautiful, and I am sure that our audience will enjoy it.
That's beautiful. You're right. I did enjoy that very much.
Thank you, Lori.
Luis Piquez, thank you so much. The concert performance is 7 o'clock this Friday at the National Music Museum in Vermilion. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much from all of South Dakota.
Thank you so much, Lori. Glad to be here.